Initially, it's really about the school having a policy around how they problem solve, and modern schools these days absolutely understand the need for a strong focus on relationships to enhance teaching and learning. And if that's the case, then you have to take a relational approach to problem solving. And when we explain to young people and staff and their parents, if it's serious enough, that everyone will have an opportunity to tell their story. And I usually explain it with some success by saying your story is a piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and what we need to do is put all of those pieces together so that we can see the big picture and finally reach a shared understanding about the harm that's been done. And once we've done that and people have taken responsibility and said, I didn't realise, or I'm really sorry, that wasn't my intention, then we can set about making a plan for the future.
Once that understanding is reached, is there a penance or a penalty for the offender?
Look, people who are still wed to the idea of punitive consequences usually want to see a pound of flesh, but our experience working with young people extensively in schools is that the process is so confronting for them that it's the process is the punishment, and the penalty is designed around how to fix the problem.
What about workplace bullying? How do you take this restorative justice process and transfer it to the workplace from the schools?
Well, I think it's exactly the same sort of process. A recent case that I did was a workplace that had to make someone redundant, and of course that became very divisive, and there were all sorts of accusations and gossip. So again, it was convincing people that the situation they're in is intolerable, and would they like a safe space to talk through the issues and figure out a plan for the future. So, yeah, it worked.
In the workplace, unlike in schools, there is a tier system, the supervisor, the chairman of the board, all the way down to the employees. So
that's right.
How do you blend that strata, that tier system, into restorative justice?
Well, the thing about working in workplaces, of course, is that it's infinitely tougher than doing this work with young people in schools, because adults are just generally more difficult to deal with. But the strategies that we've developed around this is that if it's an issue between a couple of staff members, then it's not just about negotiating outcomes between the two staff, because if it's got that bad, it's going to have affected a lot of other people as well. So what we really want is all eyes on the problem and more eyes on the problem. And so I would invite the manager, and if I think that the manager had, had some role in making things worse, either by what they did or they didn't do, then I would also bring the manager's manager. And if I needed to, I would have the CEO or the chairman of the board in the room at the same time.
So is there a mediator in this process, a judge, for lack of a better word?
No, a facilitator.
Facilitator.
Yes, and that would be me if I was called in to help in a toxic workplace.
And what is your role?
My role is to get people to talk to each other. It's pretty simple, and to manage the process of explanation, exploring the harm.
Does it begin with yelling at each other?
No.
I mean, is it awfully vocal in the start and then you have to kind of tamp it down?
Look, things can get out of hand if the preparation that you do beforehand is not adequate. So in the training that I do, preparation is everything for people who, you know, are in HR roles within organisations.
How do you train to be a facilitator? What skills do you need?
You need to be a good listener. You need to be able to manage your own emotional state so you don't get sucked into whatever their argy-bargy is. You need to have a really good grasp of the philosophical principles that underline this restorative approach. And I think you need to have some life experiences so that you can actually empathise with what people might be going through.
No names are necessary, no identifications, but can you tell us one story, one example of a situation that you handled as a facilitator that worked?
Well, one that I did last week, which was related to two 16-year-old kids at school, but the school contacted me because they were worried about the fact that the parents were escalating the issue. And this was a boyfriend-girlfriend that terminated their relationship. And as likely that happens in closed communities like schools, the friends of the girl and the boy managed to wind things up in the wake of the breakup. And also the girl's younger sister was unhelpful. There's a lot of unhelpful behaviour around texting and social media and Instagram and Facebook and so on. So the fallout from the breakup was threats around knives and, you know, bashings and whatever. And, of course, both sets of parents had gone to the police. The police had said, look, we're really unhappy about having to involve ourselves. So we had to talk. I had to work very hard and the school had to work very hard to get the parents to agree to the process. But once I interviewed everyone and explained to them what the process was going to be like, and we brought them together, and an hour and a half later, they could not believe how relieved they were and how their stories dovetailed but were quite different from each other, and they could better understand the role the friends had played and the little sister had played to wind things up, and they could pull back from, you know, the gesturing and emailing and whatever was going where the parents become unhelpful.